program is a public service presentation of WFAQ LP FM 101.3. It is the Maguanago State of the Village meeting held at the Public Library on Thursday, January 24th, 2019, and was covered and recorded by Commander Todd Siski, WFAQ General Manager and Program Director.
I will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First is the truth. Second is the fair and all concerned. Third will it build goodwill and better friendships. Fourth will it be beneficial to all concerned.
I want to introduce Reverend Kevin Clark, pastor, for invocation.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks and praise for this great village that we are privileged to live in and to work in. Thank you for the Rotary Club and the work that they do, Lord, to improve the state of the village, to help people in need, to put service above self. Pray that you'd be present today and in the future of our village with our leadership, those that protect us and keep us safe, and everyone who lives and works in and around this village, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I want to do a few introductions. Fred Winchowski, Village President. John Wydell, Village Administrator. Paul Farrow, Waukesha County Executive, is Paul here? Steve Noss, State Senator. Is Steve here? How about Jim Decker, Village Trustee? Darlene Johnson, Village Trustee and County Supervisor. April Rezga, Executive Director of the Chamber. Sandra Martin, Department of Workforce Development. Angie Zimmerman, Library Director. Sean McNulty, Superintendent. Kevin Schmidt, Chief of Police. Jeff Stein, Chief of Police. Ron Bittner, Director of Buildings and Grounds. Wally Szymanski, District 6270 Assistant Governor. And my special thank you to Dave Stockwell and Katie from Espresso Love for providing our breakfast and coffee today. I want to introduce the Rotary Club of Maguanago Board of Directors. Chad Potter is our treasurer. John Myers, secretary. Dr. Einers Vang, immediate past president. Mark Logic is our vocational director and president-elect for next year. Dr. Tom McKeever is our club service director. Jerry Piper is our membership director. Peter Barrett is our community service director. Doug Yeager, our foundation and grants director, and Rick Eby, our international service director. Thank you. The Rotary Club of Maguanago was founded in 1990. We are 35 members strong and growing. And we have a rich history of providing community service within Maguanago. From 2017 to 2019, we've given approximately $40,000 back to the community. Our technical education scholarships, about $4,000. The Maguanago High School Student Organizations, about $4,000. Tri-Skill Startup Grant and Library Makerspace Grant, $6,000. Project Lead the Way, which is this year's project at Prairie View, is $3,000. We sponsor several high school students at the World Affairs Seminar at Carroll University. We gave $5,000 last year to the Maguanago Fine Arts Foundation to assist them purchasing their grand piano. We have numerous food pantry and kitchen cupboard donations. And we gave $2,500 to the Maguanago Catastrophic Fund. We have numerous other service projects: Adopt a Family, Pro Health, Park Walk, Cancer, Operation Shoebox, Shelter Box, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Norris School Tree Project, our annual State of the Village event, National Night Out, and several others. During the past 2 years, we've given $40,000 and over $2,500 of in-service and in-kind gifts. In a bigger picture, Rotary International supports many causes in health, education, and worldwide mission for the eradication of polio. Believe it or not, there's only two countries left in the world that still have the wild polio virus, and that's Afghanistan and Pakistan. And that number is getting smaller and smaller. I think there's right around 20 to 23 cases reported for this year. So going from hundreds of thousands and millions 20, 30 years ago, we're down to about 20 cases. So that's pretty phenomenal. The Rotary Club of McGuanago not only has a strong local presence, but also contributes towards international causes. We held the World Polio Day fundraiser at Culver's last fall, which was very successful. And we sent fruit trees to Kenya this past year. Some of our annual fundraising events include, we co-sponsor the Halloween Haunt in Jack Lantern Jaunt, which has been very successful for us. We do the annual Playhouse Raffle. We do Maxwell Park's parking. And last but not least, McGuanago's Got Talent. Speaking of which, Mark.
Good morning. My name is Mark, and I am the coordinator for our show, McGuanago's Got Talent. This time last year, we were putting together the show, and we had never done it before. We didn't know what to expect. But we had the opportunity to be one of the first events in the Greenwald Foundation Performing Arts Center. And how many of you were at that show? And how many of you had a good time at the show? Applaud. This year, we are a little bit earlier in the year. So it's Saturday, March 16th is going to be McGuanago's Got Talent 2. And one of the difficult parts of this is when the event was as successful as it was and we had over 700 people in attendance there, how do we top that with new talent, with variety in our talent, and to put all of that together? We've been working hard over the last couple of weeks. We're finishing our auditions this week. And I can tell you with a large degree of confidence that this show is going to be every bit as good as it was last year. So for those of you who were here last year, tell your friends, bring your coworkers, and so on, because it's just a really fun night. Again, it's Saturday, March 16th, McGuanago's Got Talent. It's at 7 o'clock. We have information out in the lobby. You can even buy tickets out in the lobby, but I really hope to see you there. Thanks.
And without further ado, we'll move on with our meeting and introduce Fred Wachowski and John Wydell.
Look out of this hopefully friendly crowd. Good morning. I want to thank John and the Rotary Club for this opportunity to speak about our village. 2018 again finds the village a very busy place. As in recent years, it's hard to overlook the changes in construction going around all over the area. This last year, there were 17 new homes built within the village for an approximate value of $4.8 million. Now again, the reason for this smaller number remains the fact that we have a very low inventory of single family lots available to be built on. We expect this to change in 2019. Walensky's Homes has done their final phase 5 in the Fairwind subdivision. This has been approved and the roads and utilities are already in. This involved 37 single family lots on the western edge of Fairwinds. Now this is just off of Double N and Double E to the west of the village. The minor subdivision, phase 4, has also come forward with 42 lots. However, this one's a little bit further behind it and it's they haven't put the roads in or utilities yet. Now this is located along Double N just to the east of Highway I. However, as I said, the roads aren't in yet. We also have just approved the final plat for the Chapman Farm subdivision. This is just north of the Fairwind subdivision, which will be developed over the next 3 to 5 years. This includes an expansion of the Rosewood Park, and it will have 86 single-family lots. Also included in this will be 48 condo units. These condominiums will be built as a transition area east of Fairwinds behind the Aurora Clinic. These units are to begin construction in the spring and have a price range of $250,000 to $300,000 each. The Hawks Ridge Condominium Project is also completing their final building in their complex. They have a 8-unit building that is just being completed at the Highway Double N site. The real estate market remained very strong in our area, with sales at or above asking prices for the properties. Schools are still seen as a consideration for locating in Mequonegal. This last year, Mequonegal School District added 140 new students in the 2018-19 school year. At a recent business after five that was held at the high school to show off the new facility, the remodeled facilities, I spoke with Tom Karthauser, who's here today, and he advised that this increase will add over $350,000 to $500,000 in additional state aid each year for our district. This will obviously help with the cost for the schools and help with our tax base as well. The Greenwald Performing Arts Center was mentioned just before, and this is just a great thing for the village. The village players, dance performances, and now we have the talent show, and various other events are held there. This is a great addition to the community and allows for a comfortable and intimate venue for all these community events. The village paid down $2.4 million in our debt service last year. This allowed us to maintain our bond rating, which remains at the AA level. This is the lowest rate available for our community. This helps us continue on projects for growth in our future. And our annual audit was completed in April by Baker Tilly International. Diana Dougherty, she's here somewhere, our financial director, continues to do an excellent job of keeping our village on a sound financial footing. The village also did complete a reevaluation this past year. The last one we did was in 2012. State law requires that we do these occasionally, not the most popular thing to be done. Our total assessed value for the village grew, though, to $880 million. $880 million. It's a lot of money. Overall, we actually had a decrease of 98 cents per $1,000 of assessed value. So many residents actually saw their village tax decrease in 2018. The village completed numerous projects in 2018, including the reconstruction of Grand Avenue, just over here, with new sewer, water, and gas lines, and a new roadway. The Andrew Street boat launch was completely redone. Several of the cul-de-sacs in the Mequonegal Estate subdivision on the south end of the village were rebuilt as well. That's one of the older subdivisions, if you're not familiar with the area. Also, the Rosewood Park and Fairwind subdivision was finally opened after 15 years, with new playground equipment, trees, and lights installed. Walensky and the Lions Club helped pay for the playground equipment. This coming year, we'll see the village again do some sidewalk repairs. And also, one of the larger projects we're going to have this year is the large stormwater pond along Double N will have to be reconstructed. Ron Bittner from Public Works was able to find a $150,000 grant to help assist with this project. It is rather expensive. I think it's $400,000 to do. But stormwater is important. They will also be repaving some of the village parking lots in the parks, and we'll be installing an electronic messaging board at the Field Park. This will help relay information about events at Field Park and throughout the community and possibly help with the banner issue that we have. We needed to redo or update our contract with John's Disposal for garbage and recycling fees this year. Trust me, the board was not pleased to do this. However, realistically, it showed how world events can have an impact on local communities. When China decided to change their import rules related to recycling products, such as plastics, it had an impact on recyclables throughout the nation. Our area was no exception. There's no market for these recycles. And as these companies need to find other outlets or they have to send them to landfills. Last year alone, over 650 tons of recyclables were collected just in the village of Mequonegal. Also, more people are buying items online from Amazon and other such companies. This leads to more recyclables as well, such as cardboard. So now our recycles are picked up every week instead of every other week.
Hooray.
Bulk items and large item pickup had to be changed as well. Now instead of it being every other month, we have bulk items can be picked up on call. So you can call and up to six times a year you can have them pick them up right at the curb. So this would probably be more convenient for everybody actually. There will also be additional leaf and brush pickups, which help somebody like me. Lastly, there will be two dumpster weekends this summer at the Village Garage, and that'll help again with waste, yard waste. Still an increase and an increase, and nobody's happy about it. Our friends at Senior on the Go continue to be of service to our community. This last year, they did 27,800 rides. 27,800 rides. Nearly 2,100 calls each month. They now operate 18 vehicles, 22 drivers, 6 office support staff, and 6 volunteers. 80% of the calls are related to medical appointments, and the rest, 20% or so, are for personal issues, or like going shopping or meeting your friends for lunch. Again, this program grew out of a partnership with ProHealthcare some 10 years ago when we were trying to see if there was a need for this type of service in our community. Obviously, there was. Thanks to Jack and his staff for all their efforts in helping the seniors with their travel needs. Another group that's very helpful for those in need in our Mequonago is our Mequonago Food Pantry. Cindy Eggleston and her staff provide some sort of help or support for over 500 households throughout the Mequonago area. The help is with food, clothing, and with their free clinic. We all know people need a little help once in a while. The Mequonago Food Pantry covers Eagle, Big Bend, North Prairie, as well as Mequonago, and some even farther to the west. It truly helps people in a wide area. I spoke with the store manager, Mike, over at Walmart, and he advised that the customer base continues to grow and expand. Their new grocery pickup service is doing nearly 700 orders a week. This store is the third highest out of 50 stores in Wisconsin. They will be doing some updating and improving improvements this coming year. New fixtures inside, fresh paint, and new signage outside. Mike could not officially state how much money they'll be reinvesting in a store, but it is a 300,000 square foot facility, so it will be considerable. They also still donate over $8,000 to various charities in Mequonago. Aldi's has a new manager, his name's Chad. When I met with him a couple weeks ago, he stated that they too are continuing to grow their customer base. Their bakery that they started up last year has now partnered with Elegant Farmer for various items that they bake. As a result, they also do carry Elegant Farmer pies. Aldi's continues to have a good relationship with the food pantry as well. Pick and Save, if you've noticed, has completed their remodel and update. PAP advised that Kroger spent nearly $3 million on their store. Sales have increased as a result of between 8 and 9%. Now, this included painting on the outside and new displays inside. Their online grocery pickup is new and still not quite catching on. Pat said Kroger, the new parent company of the store, is very interested in our area. Also, the Starbucks did open up inside the store. There was a question of whether they were going to be there or not. And now we have two Starbucks. It's hard to believe, but the YMCA is already 6 years old in Mequonago. And again, this is another one of those projects where we wondered if it would be useful. Back in July, we had a business retention meeting, and we met with Lori Schlitz, I believe her name is pronounced, at the Y. They continue to grow, adding a small parking lot just on the west side of the building. Membership is now nearly 11,000. Again, I'm sorry to repeat these numbers, but it just sometimes when I hear them, it's just hard. 11,000 members. She estimated 60% are from the immediate Mequonago area. They have nearly 3,000 customers a day, and they have expanded their partnership with the Mequonago School District. They would love to expand their building again. However, raising money is always difficult. Rick Swan asked me to mention they now are part of something called the Les Mills Workout Program. Apparently, it's very popular with members. It means nothing to me, but apparently it's very, very popular. The new Aurora Clinic is moving forward with a March 2019 opening date. The clinic is 15,000 square feet and will have urgent care and primary care at that location. I spoke with Mike Bergman, and he told me they are looking forward to returning to Mequonago. They have scheduled a business after 5 event with April in our chamber, and the date, I believe, is March 7th. Okay, not to be upstaged, not to upstage Aurora's new building, but what can I say about Pro Healthcare? They have unveiled a $55 million expansion. Now, this expansion is to include 24 hospital beds, 12 to start out with. They have just started setting up their job site, and the plans have been approved, and construction should start as soon as the weather allows. This new expansion will add about 100 new jobs. They already employ over 200 people at the current location. They just finished a second floor addition for doctor's offices and examination rooms. That project added nearly 30,000 square feet of office space. This again will expand the services to our village and the surrounding communities. Just to get an idea about how busy they really are, in 2018, they handled 9,500 visits to the emergency room. The walk-in clinic handled another 17,500 visits. They continue to draw from a very wide area. However, there is little doubt that it is a great service for our community residents, for the village especially. The Maquonigal Library continues to be a great place to do things. More events are being held here, such as this breakfast. Overall circulation has increased nearly 3% over 2017. Angie and her staff continuously review policies to make sure they are meeting the needs of our community. They even have a winter farmers market here, in this room, actually, and it's on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month. Please stop by, you won't be disappointed. Now, this is something where John's gonna come in here in a little bit, but our newest business park on Highway 83 has started off with a hold. The Sugden Farm on Highway 83 has changed dramatically. If you have traveled south on Highway 83, you know what I mean. Banker Wire was our first client and anchor for this park. We have been meeting with Dave Stout and his staff for the last few years during our business retention meetings. They stated they were looking to expand their business and the size of their building. Our village staff worked with Rooker & Mielke, the state DOT, which wasn't easy, the DNR, We Energies, our sewer and water utilities, and we all got everything in order. Today, just under a year later, Banker Wire is currently moving into a new 185,000 square foot building with room for another 50,000 square foot addition. They are running currently two shifts and have over 75 employees. The building value will be between $12 and $13 million. Our second customer came to us from Waterford, called Triple Crown. They make athletic clothing. This company was looking to expand as well as consolidate three or four smaller locations into one building. They wanted to stay in this area because of their dedication to their workforce. Their building is currently under construction just to the east of Banker Wire and should be completed in late summer. Now this building is 66,000 square feet with another 35,000 feet available for expansion. They employ 125 people, and the building value is nearly $8 million. Our third customer comes to us from New Berlin. This company's name is Super Products. They manufacture specialty vehicles for municipalities such as jetters. And if you're in a municipality, you understand what that is, and other items that utilities use. Again, they wanted to stay in this area because of their workforce. They could not expand in New Berlin anymore. The building will be 171,000 square feet with an additional 78,000 square feet available for future expansion. They employ approximately 150 workers and they're on three shifts. The value of this building should be in the $12 to $13 million area as well. Again, another reason they wanted this area is because of our access to I-43. We expect construction to start on this one in the spring or just before. Now, we have interest in the remaining sites. However, we can't really talk about them yet unless John's going to share some insights with you shortly during his presentation. Okay. Well, then we'll have to come back next year. We also have activity in our first industrial park off McKinsey and ES. IDC on Swan Drive purchased the Campbell Construction Building. Campbell moved into the building next to the Village Hall. also on Swan Drive. They plan to raise the building and add onto their current structure. They will be adding over 25,000 square feet at a value just under $1 million. They employ around 110 workers, and this should start this spring, weather permitting. Verizon is coming back to Maquoneago. They're building a 3,000 square foot standalone building on the west corner of Wolf Run and Highway 83. Construction has already started, and it could be open by as early as July. It will have 12 employees and have a value of just under $900,000. Kids Connection, their new building up on Chapman Farms is underway, under construction. It's near Aurora Health. It is a 10,000 square foot building that is online to open in the fall. When this is open and they're in it, they will close one of their current locations. They employ approximately 20 people, and the building is valued at just under $2 million. The last one I'll mention this morning is Kay's Dance Studio. This is a actual redevelopment project, I'll say, that's on Main Street. They purchased the old Country Park building at 715 Main and had it raised. They are building a 10,000 square foot studio for their dance students. They hope to have this open by fall. It's just under valued at $1 million. There are others that have done remodeling. Maquoneago Animal Hospitals in work, Flurry's Auto Repair, Americana Flower Station, there's a reuse of a former gas station, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Village Pumper Wine and Liquor, and I'm sure I missed somebody. But, one I wanted to mention was the assisted living building that's on County Highway ES, just out there by Elegant Farmer, is now open. The new name for the building is called Brolin Meadows. I stopped by there this last month, and it's a 20-unit building. When I stopped by, they had four residents, and they were expecting three more residents by the end of the month. If there's a theme here, I hope this shows you just how active and desirable our community is. People want to live here. Businesses want to come here. Businesses that are currently here are reinvesting in their business because they want to continue to maintain their successful status. We are at a time where villages and cities are in competition for businesses and families to come to their communities. Remember, we aren't just building for today. We're trying to anticipate the needs of our village for the future. Yes, we are trying to look into a proverbial crystal ball, so to speak. This is a challenge we need to take. Also remembering that there really are no guarantees. Our actions have consequences, but as Walt Disney said, keep moving forward. We have limitations. Life is messy. We can and do make mistakes. However, we also have a lot in common. We all want the very best for our families, our friends, and our community. It starts with you. It starts with all of us working together for the continued success of our community and the Village of Maquoneago. So thank you for your time this morning. And I'd like to hold questions until afterwards because I understand we're on a timeline and we'll let John catch on here. So again, thank you for your time.
I have nothing to add. All right, so I'm going to fly through a lot of this. It backs up a lot of what Fred said. The most important stuff is right at the beginning and right at the end. It starts with our philosophy, maintaining a balanced budget. We did a strategic planning process this year. The four outcomes the board wants to achieve are right there. Targeted staffing enhancements, maintaining, updating our infrastructure, enhancing downtown safety and pedestrian safety, and controlling those unfunded mandates that come from the DOT, the DNR, state, the county, on and on. We seek to maximize our revenue position with respect to a couple of very specific laws and programs, levy limits, expenditure restraint. You can learn all about them on the Department of Revenue's website. I echo what Fred says. Diana handles that wonderfully. And because of that, we've been able to accomplish the four things above. And finally, we believe in sustainable, targeted growth. Right? Why? because it's better to add a new taxpayer in total than to raise taxes on your current taxpayers, right? What one Banker Wire is worth, it's 171,000 square feet, I think, for being, but anyway, what that is worth is 30, 40, 50, an incremental increase on that many residential property owners. So like I said, in order to provide police, fire, public works, all the responsibilities our departments have and we have to the village and community, that's how we choose to do it. It's a philosophical choice that the board has made with the staff. That right there drives almost everything we do after that. So we can, you know, agree to disagree on what is success or were we successful, but that's the reason we attempt to do the things we do. Next slide. All right, so how did we address those four things? Staffing added. We added an employee to Public Works. Has not happened since 1991. We have enough road miles in Maguanago to get to Chicago. We have 91 road miles-ish, right?
Lane miles.
Yeah, lane miles. So basically, and we haven't added, we've doubled that number since the 90s, but we haven't added an employee. They needed someone, right? We had to add another plow route. Think about just the time you add plowing streets when you double the amount of lane miles you have to cover. All right, we also added police. We're adding a full-time officer this year. We also have an officer in the middle school now due to a partnership with the school district. Thank you, Sean, and school. I think that works out for everybody. We also take care of their staffing needs during summer school now too, I believe, correct? Okay, we converted positions, two part-time positions to a full-time position at Village Hall. We converted some part-time positions as they exist and made them full-time positions. We added an employee in the utilities as well. Long story short, the village has grown a lot. Staffing did not catch up. We got hit with the recession. It was not, you just couldn't do it. There's laws that govern all this. This was the year. I think our department heads are happier, I'm hoping they're happier than they've ever been. At least that's what they should be saying in this meeting. maintaining our infrastructure, we spend, I think it's $150,000 now. It's going up to $200,000 a year just on maintenance. Crack sealing, you know, all the things you saw. Wolf Run got done recently with the chip ceiling that's granite, right? So we're making investments in that. We're making investments in our wastewater treatment plant for infiltration control, phosphorus. It's a lot. We have a plan. It's updating our system. It's making sure that the infrastructure, when you flush your toilets, you turn on your water, it works every time, barring power outages, and we're doing a good job. Downtown safety, we're doing some improvements so pedestrians can see around the cars. We're doing lighted crosswalks, push-button LED flashing crosswalks, and then we're trying to put together a downtown committee that will help do other things, facade improvement programs, on and on. We've also added a lot of trails, most notably the Holtz Parkway Trail. We had some board members that worked long and hard to get that through. We did. It connects a very large part of the village with everything else. Finally, absorbing the burden of unfunded mandates, we've received a lot of grants. Boat launch, stormwater, we got a grant to do a tree maintenance program. Also, the way we control our expenses and when we propose increases or not increases to our tax levy, those are all part of playing that game. One of our huge concerns this coming year is the dark store loophole. Facebook, somewhere, someone's talked about this. Basically, it's a technical argument within the assessment code where our Walmart can argue that that store is worth the same value as a shuttered Walmart in another community that shut down because of, you know, changes in population or whatnot. It's a legally valid argument, at least to this point. However, it's hard to logic out if you're selling that investment or you're putting that property on the market for any reason whatsoever why they would be comparable. So it's a huge concern. We're working through it. We're in the middle of our second lawsuit. We'll work it out. All right, a bit about your taxes, and then I'm going to fly through. That's not flying. We're going to fly through a few slides after that. Total tax base went up about 15%. Equalized values increased 5%. All things being equal on your property values, your taxes went down last year. That's what all that means. Waukesha, Walworth, this is the third year in a row that the majority of our taxpayers can see that their tax bill went down. All the way back to slide number one, our philosophy, adding new taxpayers is better than the incremental increases on current taxpayers. I'm happy to give this slide to anyone. If you want to leave a card, I will send this out. You can have all these numbers, but this is how, this number is probably a little light now. We're probably up 260.
$1,000-ish on an average home price, that's what would happen to your taxes. Okay. All right, keep going. Next one, yeah, please. Tax increment district number 5, it's going well. Fred Illustrated, Banker Wire, Super Products, Triple Crown. That's under contract, we're working through it. I just received an offer for this property. We're probably gonna do something other than industrial there, because if you look around, it's surrounded by future residential and or commercial. So, but everything that can be sold right now is, and next slide. 60 to 80 million in new tax base over 20 years. The things I just pointed to equals 23.5 to 27, depending on how the assessments, land values shake out. Adding that much, that essentially paid 3/4 of the investment that we made in the industrial park is paid for by the 3 businesses we've already talked about. We cash flow for the 14 out of the 20 years. It's a very good position considering 11 months ago, there was corn. Next slide, 1,500 new jobs. North end of the village, Fred talked about this as well. Next slide. Next slide. Aurora, you'll see it open in just a little bit. It's wonderful. Next slide. Educators, next slide. Educators, next slide. This is some of the remaining. I wanted to put this up here because all of this is for sale. Someone's going to buy that and build something. There's only one lot left on the Chapman Farm Place, or Chapman Place, whatever they're calling that. And as you can see, there's about 11 acres still to be had. That'll be the last thing in that area to develop. Next slide. Well, not the last. The corner plot owned by Greenwald will be the last, but that's the last big chunk of it. This is what your subdivision is going to look like. Nice roundabout here. Traffic from the high school, making that right, being able to get to the next light, that smooth flow. Right, our calculations told us that's how the traffic's going to predominantly move, so that's what we asked for. Next slide. Those are the expected results. 18 million in new tax base, 86 single family homes, 24 duplexes. Again, back to our philosophy, adding this tax base ensures that our current tax rates stay stable or even go down. Next slide. This is the Lynch property. We've been holding on to this for quite some time. It's actually the first investment we made, and we've had a lot of other things go very quickly since then. However, we are kicking around final last contracts on something that looks like this. It'll be a mix of one bedroom, two bedroom, and studio apartments. Colors will vary, but that's basically the concept. 8 to 10 million in new taxable development. Next slide. That's what it looks like. Next slide. Those are the expected results, those numbers. Tax increment, partially used to make other improvements in the area. The site has contamination. Chemicals change over time. They tend to get less bad for the environment, and we've got to work through some of the things that are currently there. But no big deal, and it'll be much nicer because of it. Next slide. Maple Center, we've all seen and or heard about this, most of the people in the room. Next slide. It's going to be 675 apartments over 8 to 10 years, so well within the expected average of what we've been doing year over year, about 60 to 80. Units in that range. Boatload of amenities, clubhouse, pool, dog park, walking trails. It's the type of living that young professionals and families whose children have moved out desire. They want to be in a location where there's people. They want easy access to recreational amenities. They want access to healthcare and food. That's what that is. Next slide. That's an up close. That is very close to what it's going to look like. Some of the things might move due to stormwater, but generally that concept is going to hold. Next slide. The commercial is probably the most exciting for me, as well, as our first slide said, there wasn't realistic space for industrial clients to go. There's also no realistic space for commercial clients to go due to market forces, land ownership, yada yada. Anyway, this is going to open up 14 acres of commercial property with a developer that wants it to develop and wants to bring a hotel and a restaurant to that interchange, which I think would be good for not only the 500 and growing employees in that area every day, but with the industrial park and if we've seen the changeover from the roadway to the Baymont. It's getting better, but it doesn't fill a need we have. I mean, honestly, business park guys, I know where you're sending your stays, and they're outside Maguanago. We need to bring those people back into our community. Next slide. Those are the expected results. Commercial, 10 to 15 million, residential, 40, senior housing, 750 to 1 million. That many residents over a 10-year period, and that many school-aged children. Next slide. Other projects, Brett's gone through these, Pro Healthcare, Verizon, 715 Main, Guanaco Animal Hospital. Next slide. More other projects, IDC, Fleury, Walmart, Belinsky, you stole my speech, or I stole yours. Next slide. The boundary agreement, you've seen that. We're thinking 50 years down the road, and if you look at our comp plan, you will see most of that is residential. Maguanago is a bedroom community. We recognize that. The health and strength of our community is the families that come here for our school district and the other things we provide. We're in the process of finalizing a boundary agreement. About three miles, right, Bruce?
Three and a half
square miles, mostly out along Maple to Center. And there's some, the Heaven City property, the Hine property, where the golf course used to be on the other side of ES. But this is how you take care of the village for the next 50 years. This was a two-year process. It's going to be good. It ensures that Maguanago will continue to grow as a residential community, and I can spend an hour just on the different zoning types, but I pressed for time. We continue to use GIS. It's publicly available. Most of it, you can use it. It's really good. We're tagging everything on that. We know we do it ourselves. We bought all the equipment. It's really awesome. And we continue to meet with our businesses. That's how we knew Banker Wire needed space. That's how we knew Gearbox needed space, and then LeBry needed space. And it's how we make sure that the village can be a partner and stay tapped into what the business community needs in order to be successful. And by business community, I also mean the commercial residential developers, right? It's not just a guy builds a home. Belinsky is looking for space. They look for it at a certain price point. They look for a certain amount. Carrick, Newman, whoever it is. We're there to partner with them, and we do that through a structured program that we take care of on an annual basis. Next slide. Okay, that's all the numbers. 157 to 193 million over the next 10 years. Put millions into the school district just in state aid alone, plus tax revenue. If all the assumptions hold, it's unlikely, but on a macro scale, the majority of those assumptions will hold in some form or function. It's good for everyone, including the village's ability to continue to provide outstanding services to our taxpayers, residents, and the surrounding community. Next slide. Those are just growth numbers. CPI has grown by 7.15% on a rolling average. We're growing 5% a year. So, we're outpacing inflation, which is a good spot to be in, I think, for any business. All right, I think then for one more slide. Okay, committed to high quality, sustainable growth. We talked about that. Adding new, I can't say that enough. Levy limits, other things inhibit our ability to place the tax structure exactly as we want it. So we have to have a strategy that gets us where we want to go, but not necessarily the way we want to get there. And we believe Maguanago will continue to serve as a regional hub for new industrial jobs, new jobs in healthcare, new residents, new families, new startups, new restaurants. So it's a really good time to be a part of the community. Coming out of the recession, I think Maguanago has done very well for itself. We have a reputation, but it's the reputation we want as a family-based community that also has well-paying jobs in a growing industrial and healthcare sector. People are making signs. It's probably time for me to close up shop. I'll take a few minutes of questions, but most importantly, thank you for coming out. And if you run into someone who has questions, just have them contact me. I have our economic development profile up here, which gives you more numbers, and my business card. Feel free to take them. Thank you. I'll take a couple, yes, questions.
One of the slides said high-end grocery store.
Yes.
What grocery store is?
So that would be like, I could tell you about
Whole
the
food,
few times Sendix.
Repeat the question. Oh, wait.
Question is, it talked about high-end grocer trying to attack. I would, if Sendix was here, I would attack them and restrain them until they agreed to build in Maguanago. How do we attract them, or what type are we trying to attract?
Yeah.
Sendix has looked at our community on and off. As you saw maybe a couple of years ago, they were just building all over the place, and you probably haven't seen as much news. There's been a slight retraction there. I think they expanded into some markets that they thought would grow into them, you know, in Milwaukee, and it's kind of been the reverse.
Okay.
But that's on our list. You know, we do have the Health Hut, which is a great place for healthy, organic, all of that good stuff. But we have what's called a gap, right? More people take their, well, a percentage of people take their grocery money and they leave to go to Woodman's or Meijer or Whole Foods, Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is ensure that more of the money that we know that people are allocating who just live in Maguanago towards groceries stays in the community.
Okay.
Yes?
With the Maple Center development, the traffic with the single access point over there is going to get really ugly.
Yes.
Over the next 2 years. So
I should have brought that sign. Okay, so yes, we have an ultimate roadway map.
Yeah.
And that road will eventually, by a certain phasing, getting into the contract language, by phase two of that development, which would be four buildings, that's when the village is going to start having planned for, but start working on constructing the secondary access. We told them they can go no farther without that infrastructure, which will get all the way to Maple. And I'm currently working through an offer on the summer property, King Ranch. It's the next access that won't be Wolf Run. So we do have a plan. It's like a 5 to 10 year plan, depending on how soon the properties sell. But you will be able to essentially, Wolf Run will be a loop that will intersect at Maple, but then also have a secondary access at 83. There was an accident there this year. Who was stuck in traffic? Anyone in this room? It was like hours, right? So.
Are we talking with DOT at all about another bridge from Holtz Parkway over to that development?
We talked with them 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, not recently, but DOT doesn't have any money. We have a change in the governor.
Well, they do. Let's go to Fox.
So we'll see if things change, and we'll probably talk about it again. But nothing currently on the book. Also, there was some concern that we were pursuing a exit at the Edgewood Road to I-43, where you cross over Edgewood. The village is not participating in that either, and the federal government's very reluctant to add additional exits to their interstate system. They try to keep it as close as possible because of the speeds and traffic movements.
The village official map does show a future overpass west of Lynch, between Lynch and Walbart, and going to Holtz Park, where there's a curb opening right there.
Stand up.
So.
So hey, Bruce, our planner.
It shows that our official map is shows it, but
I should have thought to bring that.
Excuse me, my voice is going raspy. Still got that cold. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do recognize, yes, a lot of traffic pinch points, and we have at least a plan for as much as we can do without the DOT's help. Anything else? Yes.
Stormwater. You mentioned stormwater. Is there another project going on out there?
I'm sorry, what was the last part?
You were mentioning expanding on stormwater.
Yeah, so we have a couple projects going on. The stormwater pond behind the Pick and Save needs to be rebuilt. How old is that?
It was done when the 83 project was done, so that was like
15 years at least.
So it needs a rebuild. So we're doing things like that. We don't have a stormwater issue necessarily, but we have stormwater requirements every year that we are audited on from the DNR. Unfunded mandate that we need to make sure that we're in compliance with. And part of it is the stormwater project we're doing, and we continue to do it. There's stormwater ponds in the industrial park, so as projects get built, we will continue complying with that. But other than just a regular plan to maintain what we have, it's not a special thing. Yeah. Yes,
John? In terms of the expansion that, under our current water reservoirs, are we adequately positioned with the current stuff that we have today, or are we looking at putting in maybe an additional well at some point?
I wish Dave was here so I could hit him down on the 3-yard line. Okay, so here's what I know. We've done a preliminary, capacity study on water and sewer. Our issue isn't having capacity. We're below 65% on both, and while 65 sounds like a big number, that's in terms of 100% being, or 85% starting to have to worry, we can handle all of what we currently have planned. The issue is we might need, due to elevations, we might need additional equipment. So for example, the industrial park, not now, that whole thing can be built, but the Schultz property behind it that goes to the rail, because of the elevations, that will require an overhead tank, just because
pressure.
Topography.
Right? Yes, thank you. Same stuff with sewer, you know, whether that's a lift station or our, and the, our current plant is 35 years old and there's still enough space to take, flip it up and double it on site without having to relocate. Now, technology's changed, so it won't look exactly the same, but we can essentially double what we need to handle very quickly. So these plans were set up with that in mind. If you look at the, there are maps of future water and sewer related to the boundary agreement with Vernon around the room.
And that, that we can credit to boards in the past. Rick, you remember, maybe not on that particular board, but back in the early 80s, the board did look at the future, and the site that we currently have for our sewer plant is big enough to expand by at least doubling it. So, but we'll, we will stay around afterwards here and move on with your, thank you for coming.
Yeah, I want to thank Fred and John for presenting this year's State of the Village, and thank you for coming out this year, and looking forward to seeing you for the 8th annual State of the Village next year.
The preceding program was a public service presentation of WFAQ-LP-FM 101.3. It was the McGuanago State of the Village meeting held at the Public Library on Thursday, January 24th, 2019. Thanks for listening.